Arts and Other Events calendar. Petrifying Springs Park is hosting their Yoga in the Park and Fitness in the Park series at 5:30 p.m. each Monday and Wednesday through August. To register, visit yogainthepark2020.eventbrite.com and fitnessinthepark2020.eventbrite.com. WGTD-FM is now available on your smart speaker. Simply say, play WGTD on TuneIn and hear WGTD programming. 24/7 Jazz is also available. Simply ask, play WGTD HD2 on TuneIn.
Support for WGTD comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Pickasaw Gardens, bringing to market a variety of in-season produce, and later this summer, Mirai Sweet Corn. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on 2nd Avenue. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Lenny Aquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, and Laura Sumner Kuhn, a former journalist at the Racine Journal-Times, who currently serves as an adjunct instructor at UW Parkside. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
Hello and welcome to Community Matters. I'm Jane Herring, your host today, and we will be talking with Adeline Green and Laura Cox. In these challenging times, these two women have risen to the occasion by using literature and discussion to help educate through the Rainbow Voices Book Club. So let's start with a quick overview of the purpose of the book club. Adeline, did you want to begin?
Sure. As all the unfortunate incidents have been happening with Black men and women being killed either by police or vigilantes, I was really troubled by all these things that were happening on the news. And one day when I was walking, I was just trying to figure out some kind of way we could get together as a group of people and discuss some of these issues. And the whole idea of a book club came to me, and I decided that at that moment that I would start a book club. And the whole idea was to get people of different backgrounds, cultures, races, experiences together. And we would read books about various topics specifically related to the Black experience in America. And so I simply went to my Facebook page, put out an invitation that I wanted to start a social justice book club, and the whole notion of, you know, a rainbow of voices was what I had in mind. And so I put the invitation out there and people responded.
And Laura, were you one of those who responded, or were you right there partnering with Adeline?
It's really funny the way that it all kind of fell together. I responded to her post because I was having a very similar thought. I was looking around at the tragic events that have been happening for centuries, and all of a sudden, really with the most current events and with everyone being on quarantine and lockdown with COVID-19, people are starting to wake up to the reality of racism. And specifically as a white woman in America, I think it's really critical for white voices to lead this conversation, because our Black, Indigenous, people of color have been having these conversations for centuries, and it's really time for us to, as white people, to begin to educate our racial illiteracy. And so as soon as I saw Adeline's post, I jumped right in, because I was thinking about doing something very similar. And when she jumped, when she made that post, I was like, well, why recreate the wheel? Let's work together. And she was totally on board with that.
Absolutely. And Laura even reached out on Facebook to say, you know, if you need any help managing this book club, you know, I'd be happy to help you. Because I knew with the COVID-19 situation, it would likely be virtual, and my technology is limited, and Laura just jumped in and volunteered to put together the Zoom virtual meeting for me, and for the book club, I should say, and you know, she's just been such a great help from the very beginning, from the moment that I thought of this notion of a book club. She reached out and said, you know, I'm willing to help out in any way that I can. And she has just been a great partner in this. And we've had several conversations, and I'm sure this is going to improve, you know, the friendship that we already had, but it's going to really augment it.
Mm-hmm. I do plan to talk, obviously, in much greater detail about the book club, but I think our listeners would be curious, if they don't already know the two of you, to know what your backgrounds are and, you know, how you're coming to this point where you're willing to lead a group of people in their discussion. Adeline, if you wouldn't mind going first.
Sure, I would go first. Basically, my career has always been in the social services field. I've been a social worker, a supervisor, an EEO coordinator for Kenosha County, and a director of workforce development over the course of my career. I've always been involved in the community. Wherever I live, I join and participate in community volunteer events, as well as boards. One of the things that I participate in is a group called the Coalition for Dismantling Racism. And it's a group that's been in existence here in Kenosha for 24 years. And we have what we call courageous conversations in the community about issues specific to racism and how it presents itself in various ways. And these conversations have been very eye-opening for many people, and particularly white people. And, you know, anytime we can get together as different cultures and experiences and talk about our experiences, and especially help people understand how racism presents itself in so many different ways, I think we're better off as a community. So I've always been engaged in this kind of work.
And Laura.
Yeah, my background is in natural healthcare. I practice natural functional medicine and traditional Chinese medicine. And I am currently pursuing a doctorate in acupuncture and oriental medicine at a school in Austin, Texas. And I'm finishing up my first year right now. And with all of the happenings in the world and some conversations that I've been having with some of my friends, I recently decided to change my dissertation. And all of the work that I did last year, I kind of just tossed out the window, and I just was approved to start focusing my dissertation on racial discrimination and inequity in our healthcare system, and how integrative medicine and specifically acupuncturists can lead the way in dismantling racism in our healthcare system. And so it's something that is really personal to me. I think that part of what made this such a pressing and urgent issue is that I have a personal history of complex post-traumatic stress disorder. And I had a conversation with one of my friends recently, and she was sharing some of the racial trauma that she has experienced. And it was like a light went off in my head in hearing that conversation. Because as a person who has experienced trauma, and some of that trauma has been interwoven into the fabric of my existence, it brought the conversation of race and racism to a new light for me. And people who experience racial inequality in this world have daily traumas that they're exposed to. And that really brought this conversation home to a personal level. Not like I, as a white person, can ever fully understand what it means to be a person of color in America, but I do know what it means to be traumatized. And a lot of my career is built around that. So I feel duty bound and called to bring this conversation to the forefront of my practice and my friendships and my life with everyone that is a part of my life.
I think introducing yourselves, both Adeline and Laura, you've kind of given us, it's in your soul to try to address this issue and to help others understand. But why a book club? I mean, how, and I guess, Adeline, this is more, you came out with this idea. Why and not 20 other different things?
Right, right. And I'm going to touch on a couple of things, but I think knowledge is powerful. And a lot of knowledge comes from reading books, just being curious about things, people, experiences. So I can appreciate Laura for saying that, you know, it's time for us to come together in conversation, find out about these things. I have another book club, and it's an African-American women's book club that we read all about books written and about African-American women particularly, but, you know, the African-American experience. And it's in that book club, it's a safe space for us to vent and talk and share. And in our conversations, oftentimes, you know, the subject of white people come up and, you know, how they contribute to some of the ills and the problems in the Black community. And so, you know, in that safe space, we feel comfortable talking amongst each other about some of the issues and concerns that we have. But I think in order to improve, you know, the condition, you have to invite others into the conversation and have others read some of these books by and about African Americans. And so that's why I think the book club notion and being inclusive and inviting white women and men and Latinx women and men, as well as Black women and men and any others who want to participate. Because I think the more we can learn and share with one another, the better understanding we'll have about our real life experiences. And it will help those who don't quite understand this whole notion of racism and how it presents itself and how it permeates throughout so many aspects of our society. And many of the books that we are reading are written both by white authors and Black authors, but the experience is real. And I think through these conversations, through this reading, that people will gain a better insight into the Black experience here in the United States, gain a different perspective, and hopefully get some understanding about why it is that some of us feel the way we feel about this oppressive, you know, society. It's not totally oppressive, but for Black people in particular, we've had a history of oppression in the United States of America from, from slavery through the present time. And so I'm hoping that it will enlighten people, open some people's eyes, and lead to some better understanding and some action in the future.
I'd like to kind of jump and piggyback on that too. With reading books, it kind of diffuses a little bit of the tension that there is around this topic. You know, I was raised in the generation of being quote unquote colorblind because we're all the same and we should treat everyone the same, but that denies the whole lived experience of anyone that doesn't look like me. And I was taught that it's rude to talk about race and racism because it's rude to point out people's differences. And so I know I'm not alone in that. And having these conversations is a disruption of the way that a lot of my white friends have been taught that the world is. And it can be really confronting. And so having this inanimate object that's facilitating that conversation, I think diffuses a little bit of that tension, because it's not me voicing my opinion, it's us coming together and discussing the opinion and experiences of the authors.
I see what you mean, Laura. I can see where it would be almost like a mediator or a third person that you're talking about, rather than making it almost confrontational in your discussion. That makes sense.
Absolutely. And I think it's really critical for, I mentioned this before, I think it's really critical for white people to lead the conversation, because this is not a new conversation for people of color to experience. And it's really important for us as white people to not place the emotional burden of educating our racial illiteracy on the people who have been traumatized by this conversation for their entire lives. And so that's part of the reason that I wanted to help co-facilitate this, because there are going to be people who have well-meaning questions that can potentially be harmful. And I don't think that is a fair thing to put on the people who have been dealing with these microaggressions and racial conversations, and it gets exhausting for them.
And you're right. It is exhausting. And Laura and I have had several conversations about this, and I do appreciate her concern. But for me, I think one of the ways that people learn is that they ask questions. And so I want this book club to be the kind of place, you know, another safe space where people can ask the kinds of questions that they have and get answers and gain a different perspective on what is happening in our country. And so I don't anticipate it'll be confrontational so much as answering questions, you know, settling some of the curiosities that people have about the Black experience. And one of the things, and Laura and I have had this conversation, is that we know this conversation can go many different places, because there are all sorts of issues that are out there. There's, you know, sexism, there's other people of color that have some concerns, there's the whole LGBT issues that are out there. But the concentration of this particular book club is going to be on Black issues. And so anyone coming into this book club needs to know that from the beginning. That's what we want to talk about. And some of these other issues will intersect with the conversation, but we want to stay focused on the Black issues and concerns in this book club.
So there, can we talk about some of the nuts and bolts about how the book club will be running? You kind of mentioned Laura's in charge of technology. So it probably will be online. So just walk me through what I could expect as a person who has signed up for the book club.
And Laura, before you jump in, might I say that I didn't expect the overwhelming response that we have received from people who want to participate in this book club. I'm very encouraged by that. When I last talked with Laura, we had about 70 people who were interested. We're up to about 76 people. And so not knowing the virtual world as well as Laura does, my concern is how many people can we have participate in this discussion. And Laura has kind of eased my concerns by telling me that she'll handle the technical aspects of it. And so I'm going to let Laura explain how we're going to manage this conversation.
Thank you. So for now, until we can safely meet in person, we're going to be having a Zoom book club, and we're giving it a try. You know, we don't know how exactly this will work. Our first meeting is coming up at the end of July, and the plan is to have a group discussion with everyone who comes. I can facilitate up to 100 people on my Zoom account, and then we'll do a little bit of an introduction. Why are we doing this book club? And talk about some like general housekeeping, like how do you raise your hand on Zoom and things like that. And then we'll split off into smaller groups so that people can have more intimate and meaningful conversations with each other about the books that we're discussing. And we'll have those small breakout rooms for about 45 minutes or so. And then we'll all come back together as a group to discuss what is it that we learned from hearing another person's perspective on this book that we've all read together. So it's gonna be interesting to see how it all works. And then we'll go from there to make adjustments as needed. We may need to expand our online platform abilities, but we want to see how our first meeting goes before we make any big decisions moving forward.
And our first session at this point in time is scheduled for Saturday, July 25th from 4 to 6 p.m. We went with Saturday based on Laura's schedule as well as my schedule, and it can be changed to another day depending on what the group decides. If that works for the majority of people, we're going to continue with a Saturday afternoon book club discussion, but this is all it's all evolving at this point in time, and so we'll see where this goes and how we continue as more people decide to join.
Adeline, you mentioned 76 people have already indicated their interest. Can you give me a feel? Do you know perhaps the racial makeup of that group? White versus black?
I do. Laura and I had this discussion also. Yes, we've been having lots of discussions together, but of the 76 people, it's a broad range of people. And I, because they're from my friend group, I happen to know the racial breakdown. And we've got 27 people who are African-American. We've got 3 Latinx. We've got 46 white people. We've got, of that total of 76, we've got 4 men at this point in time. And that's where I would like to have a few more men in this conversation, because I think it will enrich things if we have a few more men in the conversation. And, you know, just in terms of political affiliations, because I know some of that too. I don't know totally, but I mean, we've got liberals, we've got conservatives, we've got independents. We even have 5 people from out of town, and I know that because they're my relatives and friends. And so we've got, you know, somebody out of Texas, we got somebody out of DC, out of Mississippi, and out of Nebraska at this point in time. And you know, I know Laura knows the technical aspects, and so she can see this getting bigger and bigger. You know, I worry about that, but she's confident that we can manage this, and so I'm gonna go with that.
Based on this just being shared basically through Facebook to your friends, that seems like a really large number of interested people. Have there been friends who tell friends, or wasn't that really encouraged?
I believe that has happened because while the majority of people are my friends, some of them had heard about it through the grapevine and contacted people to join. And I know Laura has a group of interested friends who also want to join, and we're gonna talk about that. We want to see how this group of 76 people at this point in time works out with our first meeting, and then we're going to talk about expanding how we do that. And you know, we expect this to grow, and after this airs, we expect it to even grow even more, don't we, Laura?
Absolutely. And we have multiple platforms that can make it feasible too. You know, the Facebook group doesn't have any limitations. So people who want to start reading along, they may not be able to join our first Zoom meeting, but we have a plan for books through the end of the year that will be getting posted on Facebook today or tomorrow. I'm just finishing up the details of that post. And I'm a big picture kind of person. I can see this being a national, if not a global, conversation where people have chapters of their own in their own communities, where we're all reading the same books and having the same kinds of conversations across the nation.
That sounds pretty cool. But I, you know, what I do like about it is, while it may be a nationwide effort, you're really looking at your local community. So people, to a certain degree, at least have shared experiences.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I think you've already picked at the first book to read. And then, like you say, you're going to be offering the literature list. Can you give us just a few examples?
Sure. Laura and I talk because as partners, we want to make sure that we're totally on board with the book list. And we've come up with 6 books, including the first one that we're reading in July, which is White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo. And our second book is So You Want to Talk About Race by Ijeoma Oluo. Our third book is White Rage by Carol Anderson. Our fourth book is a book and a movie, and we've talked about that also. We're going to expand this platform to not just have book discussions, but we're going to watch movies, documentaries, and, you know, have some discussion around those also. And so the fourth book plays into that. It's a book called The Hate You Give by Angie Thomas, which is also a movie. And so we talked about having people read the book as well as watch the movie and have conversation about that one in October. And our fifth book, as I'm going through the list, is Antagonists, Advocates, and Allies by Catrice M. Jackson. That would be in November. And we would end the year, we think, on a good note with a book called How to Be an Anti-Racist by Ibram X. Kendi. So that's our list from July through December. And we have many, many, many more books that we will be sharing with people on the Facebook page and through other means.
Are you starting a Facebook page for the book club, separate from your own personal one, Adeline?
Yes. Laura started our Facebook.
Yep. There is a Facebook group that we have been sharing upcoming books. People are talking about how excited they are to be a part of this conversation. Right now, it's a lot of, we're sharing articles and other resources that people can look at, and kind of like a just getting a feel for the people who are in this group together. So I think the Facebook group is going to be a really great resource. And I've been trying to hold myself back a little bit because I'm really excited. Yeah. But I also don't want this to grow beyond what we can manage right now.
Our capabilities.
Exactly.
And yes, we do have a separate Facebook page. It's called Rainbow Voices, if anybody wants to go and check it out, because we did leave it public for people to check out, did we not, Laura? People can check it out?
People can see the group, but in order to see the content of the group, they need to be a member. So people should be able to search for it and find it and then request to join. Once they've been approved, then they'll be able to see the content of the group. And the reason I set it up that with that structure was because internet trolls, we want to make sure that this does stay a safe and protected conversation and a safe place for everyone to be able to express their experiences. So that gives us a little bit of a way to control and filter the people who come into this group.
Totally makes sense. I'm going to ask, it may be a difficult question, but how would you term success for the book club? And I'm sure that there are short-term goals, long-term goals. You've kind of hinted at both of them. But what would make you smile in 6 months, given the success of this endeavor?
You know, for me, I think people having a better understanding of other people's experiences. I would hope some actual friendships result from this book club, because, you know, we're meeting on a monthly basis, or at least that's the plan at this point in time. And I hope some real friendships develop so that people continue this conversation, just not just within the book club itself, but beyond the book club, that they understand how other people's lives are different than their own. Because I think, you know, part of, you know, the whole racism thing is that people think that everybody has the same opportunities as they've had. And that's just not true. That's just not true. So, you know, gaining some better understanding, you know, getting some real life friendships going and getting a better understanding of how other people live.
Yeah, I would agree with everything that Adeline just said. And also one thing I would love to see is this conversation grow beyond just our club and grow beyond just the 76 members of our community that have said, yes, I am committed to learning more and educating myself on the experience of people who don't look like me. And seeing more of that inclusiveness and understanding, like, we are the pebble that drops in the pond. It's the ripple effect that can transform the world.
and of course, ultimately, that people understand this whole notion of systemic racism that keeps people of color out of the mainstream. You know, that is the ultimate goal. And that would be a long-term goal, that we undo systemic racism and open up opportunities for everybody.
Absolutely.
You know, we only have about 8 minutes left to talk, but you've mentioned systemic racism. Would you mind giving a definition of that? I think it would be important for people to understand that. And you're both educated people. And in terms of a real definition, it would be helpful.
And, you know, I'll make an attempt. And that's part of the goal of this book club. But there's so much history and so many systems in place that keep people of color in particular, and Black people specifically, out of mainstream opportunities, and that factor into things like low graduation rates for African Americans, disparities in healthcare, the fact that the whole police brutality thing and racial profiling happens. These all happen as a result of systemic racism and the way Black people and some other people of color are regarded. I don't have a dictionary definition of systemic, but it's just a whole system of events and things that keep certain people away from opportunities and give advantage to white people in particular.
Mm-hmm. And if you really consider the real history of America, not the whitewashed version that we get that we get taught in schools, the real history of America is that this country, it has been built upon the lives and backs and blood of enslaved people. And when you look at the way that our society has been structured over the course of the centuries, the one of the biggest ways that we grow wealth is through land that's been handed down in like generation to generation. But when you were brought to this country against your will and you were unable to have rights as a human and you were unable to purchase land, then that sets generations up for disadvantage. And that's just one of the many examples of how racism has been woven into the fabric of our society. And I wanna just make sure to say this too, because as a white person, I grew up thinking that racism was these like in your face, violent acts like lynchings and the separate water fountains and things like that. And I never stopped to think about how our language has evolved to incorporate racism, or how as a white person, I never have to stop and think about the color of my skin and how that might impact the opportunities that are available to me, or how that might impact the services that I have at my disposal. And I know we have just a short bit of time left, but I could go on a whole tangent about intersectionality as well. So
right, and you know, when you grow up Black in America, you're aware every single day that you're Black, and you have certain expectations of how white people will treat you. You know, all of us Black, I'm not going to say all of us, I'm not going to generalize, but many of us Black people have the experience of going into a store and being followed, myself included, simply because I'm Black. Those are systemic things, you know, the mistrust that that automatically, if you're a Black person and you come into a store, that you're there to steal something rather than to buy stuff. There's so many examples, and that's why when you look across the spectrum at, you know, who's at the top economically, and you start talking about generational wealth, many of us Black people, you know, our generational wealth probably starts at my generation or my parents' generation. It doesn't go any further back than that because of the slave history, and we haven't had the opportunities that white people have had to build generational wealth. But it's very complex, very complicated, and we're going to go through this history in this country that shows the systems that were in place that kept Black people out of areas and opportunities, away from opportunities that, had they been given the same opportunities, we would be on a more level playing field. So it's a complex issue.
And I assume some of the literature that the two of you have chosen for the next 6-7 months of the book club will delve into some of these issues?
Well, most definitely. I believe our first book, White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo, she digs pretty deeply into these issues and explains it on an academic as well as a social level. Because one of the things I appreciate as I've been reading the book is there's certain terms and codes that white people use that we are very familiar with as Black people that let you know what they're talking about and when they're talking about racism in a more subtle way, let's say. You know, it's not blatant in your face, but you know it. You know it when you hear it. At least as Black people, we know it when we hear it. So it's going to be an interesting and very enlightening conversation that we have. And we're going to be open and honest, yet respectful in our book club discussions.
Well, it definitely forward to, and I think being able to There's some people who certainly are blatant in the racism, but there's also the cluelessness among us who we're not seeing it as racism, might see it as socioeconomic, who knows? But I think educating all of us into why we feel the way we do and how it is perceived by others is going to be so interesting.
It will be very enlightening, I think. If we do this right, I think it's going to be great in terms of the educational aspect of it, and just opening people's eyes and showing different perspectives. I think it's going to be good for those of us who participate, and hopefully these conversations will not just happen in the book club, but people take these conversations home and have them with other members of their families and their friend groups, because as Laura illustrated, you know, this is just, we're throwing a rock in the river and watching the ripples, the ripple effect result.
Well, I thank you both. This sounds so exciting, and I really appreciate what you are trying to do. You have been listening to Adeline Green and Laura Cox as we've been discussing the Rainbow Voices Book Club on Community Matters. The book club is going to begin their discussion using the book White Fragility, and that first discussion is scheduled for Saturday, July 25th from 4 to 6 p.m. You can become more acquainted with Rainbow Voices Book Club through their Facebook group. So search for Rainbow Voices and then ask to be accepted as a member of the group, and they will let you in. So again, I thank Adeline Green and Laura Cox for discussing the Rainbow Voices Book Club.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD-HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. Support comes from Kenosha Harbor Market, featuring Pastry for You, offering scones, cookies, pies, tarts, breads, and candies. Chocolate chip cookies, scones, and pocket pies are their most popular items. The market is open Saturdays from 9 until 2 on 2nd Avenue.
WGTDHD sounds a little different now on weeknights and weekend nights. Overnight classical music will now be provided by live hosts from the Classical 24 Network, and will also include NPR News at the top of every hour between 8 p.m. and 4 a.m. Monday through Thursday,